Jordan already hosts 400,000 Iraqi refugees from the first Gulf War and may face many more as the latest military conflict in Iraq plays out. In fact, displacement is a universal symptom of war anywhere in the world. Fighting in Central Africa has forced more than 4 million people out of their homes. In southeastern Europe, more than 1 million people fled the 1999 war in Kosovo. Hundreds of thousands of Cambodians spent more than a decade in refugee camps along the Thai border, and tens of thousands still remain. In almost every case, half of these refugees are children. Keith and I recently visited a refugee camp and found that for kids, fleeing war can be as dangerous as war itself.
We were running toward the border. A Serbian policeman stopped us.
In 1999, Iqbala Paciorici, an ethnic Albanian, grabbed her son and daughter and fled the war in Kosovo.
First, they burned my daughter's face. She started crying, "Mother!" I just told her, "Keep silent, keep silent." Her face was covered with blood. They hit my son in the stomach and he fell to the ground. I was just saying, "Oh my God." Then they said, "Take the children, start walking, don't look back." So we walked. I was expecting, bam, bam, that they would kill the kids and me. But with God's grace, we were saved.
Many families like these flee the horrors of war only to end up in refugee camps. Even the best of these camps offer cold comfort to children in crisis situations.
A refugee camp can be a very dangerous place. You're putting an enormous number of people in very close proximity, and these are people who are tired, who have often become ill. You know, there are all sorts of health risks in a refugee camp situation.
Patrick Fruchet has worked for UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, in a number of conflict zones, most recently Kosovo, where thousands of children displaced by the 1999 war still suffer in camps like this one called Plementina, just outside of Pristina. Many of these children, especially Serbs and Roma, also known as Gypsies, are afraid to leave because they fear ethnic attacks. Anver Krasnici is the American Refugee Committee field agent in charge of this camp.
I will tell you then, for children it's a difficult life here in the camp because only some people of the camp, they are free to move because some of them they are scared to go like outside to Obilić or Pristina or somewhere. But for children it's a very difficult life.
How old are you? Do you speak English?
No.
No English, no.
Hello.
As we walk through the camp, the ground is wet and there's some mud. And lots of clothes being hung out to dry. What's his name?
Kenan.
Kenan. Kenan, how old are you?
Six.
6 years old. How long have you lived here in Plementina?
God. Full 3 years.
For 3 years. How is your life here?
It's very difficult.
Very difficult. Do you want to go somewhere else?
Yes, I do.
Yes. Where would you like to go?
In Austria.
In Austria. Sandra, who helped translate, works for the United Nations at the Plementina camp.
What's life like for a child in Plementina camp?
It's quite difficult. The fact that they live somewhere else instead of their home, it's horrible enough. As much as we can, we are trying to give them a decent way of life, but sometimes it's very difficult.
She is concerned that the scars of war and the trauma of fleeing war will never heal for these children, causing long-term problems for them and the rest of the world.
You should see some pictures that they are making. Even for the people who doesn't have anything to do with a psychosocial program, they can realize that there are some scars.
Beyond the psychological trauma, children on the run from war face threats to their personal security, suffer from a lack of regular education, and little or no health care. Again, Patrick Fruchet from UNICEF.
A child is more likely to die from not being immunized as a result of armed conflict than to die as a result of the armed conflict. In other words, it's the same thing. I mean, that because of the disruption of the conflict, they don't receive their immunization, and therefore they're vulnerable to a whole slew of child killers, basically.
What can be done to help these children? I asked Sandra if there are lessons here that can be applied in other conflicts.
Let's try not to have a conflict first. Let's be more focused on the kids. They are our future. And if they have scars from the conflict, one day they will be a person with scars and they can become violent. You can see many of the kids are violent without reason.
You think it might be the seeds for another war?
Yes, unfortunately, yes. They've suffered because of the war, and those scars can make from them, unfortunately, another warriors. What we do not want. Let's have more doctors and more teachers.
Sandra and others say listening to voices from the field is vital because it reminds aid providers that each conflict situation is different and humanitarian responses must be tailored to fit local needs.
It has to be much more, let's say, targeted. It would be better if the donors comes down to the field. Please do not stay at the headquarters. I know that you like your offices with air conditioners and these things. If you want to have, like, improved humanitarian assistance situation in Kosovo, please come down to the field.
A 1951 United Nations convention guarantees refugees the right to return to their homes, but that's not as easy as it sounds, particularly in Kosovo, where the ethnic Albanian government has not welcomed the return of minority Serbs and Roma. Patrick Fruché says UNICEF is working in one particular Kosovo community to help families return, but the results are frustrating.
There were basically a number of men whose wives and children were not there. And we spoke to them about, will your family come? You're rebuilding your home. Will your family come? And the answer was, well, not unless there's health care and education. And so for UNICEF, the right to return, it's not just to return to a house. It's to return to a community with services.
It is very unlikely or unreasonable to expect that 3 years after what happened here that, you know, all of a sudden these people are going to be welcomed back with open arms by the majority community.
Simon Haselock is chief spokesperson for the United Nations mission which runs Kosovo. He says the UN plans for returning refugees and displaced people to their homes are based on creating both safe conditions and local services. And he knows that for children and adults, this is an urgent task.
The next 2 or 3 years are the critical years for returns. If it lasts any longer than that, of course, you then become into the problem where these people become too embedded where they are, and it's less likely that they will return at all.
That's a sobering thought and a vivid reminder that child refugees can be just as much victims as those injured in war, and it's up to their parents to resolve the underlying problems that led to war in the first place.
Keith's story appeared in the radio documentary Children of War, Fighting, Dying, Surviving, airing on public radio nationwide.